Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Speaks, did you see, by the way, the steakhouse dinner that we had? We had steakhouse dinner for lunch Fridays.
I saw a picture of it on the Twitters, yes. What the hell?
You've been reading about all that? You've been seeing that?
Speaks, I'd be happy to make you a vegan meat slab the next time you're in, as long as you stop calling Twitter the Twitters.
I'm really too worried about what they put on Instant Chat or whatever it is.
It's a simple request, really, that the under 40 crowd on the show has of the over 50 members
of
the show.
But it's not like I don't know how to use the Twitters or I'm just unfamiliar.
Gather around the snack chat, children! I'll tell you the tale of the landline.
I know what it is. I know what it is. I'm drawing attention to the fact that the elderly have a hilarious relationship with social media that they often botch the terminology.
Log off. That cookie makes me nervous.
I myself am not botching the terminology except with one level of added irony to show my wisdom, Shane.
Was it including yourself among the elderly also ironic? Or was that just truthful? Because I couldn't really tell.
What is the line? What's the line on elderly these days? 50 can't be the line.
You.
When I renewed my lease, I got a mimeograph. Mimeograph? What am I, 60? I was having a phosphate down at the drugstore, and I was in the middle of reading the new serialized Fitzgerald and Collier's. And oh, I tell you, I was late to an ether frolic.
On the Twitters.
On that frickin' Twitter.
One, two, three.
Here we go, Tim.
Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. We've had John Hollinger on the show. We've had Dan Bernstein on the show for an airing of grievances. We've done our normal branded nonsense, and we heard the best of what Ryan Pace had to say, which frankly... didn't take very long.
Earlier in the show, Danny, we had our buddy Dan Bernstein on. After he was done with us, he listened to Ryan Pace, and he wrote an article on 670thescore.com. Nobody says nothing quite like Ryan Pace is Bernsey's subhead for the article.
It's a good premise. It's very true. He does it with great hair, so I respect that part about him.
We want to keep our good players.
Mm-hmm, good thought.
It's a good idea.
Is his hair product F? Like yours does? Probably, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, his hair Fs. That's definitely true. I mean, listen, say what you will about the man, and we've all said a lot. No one is coming at Ryan Pace for his hair. Like, that hair is strong. And frankly, if I didn't have any other things to point to, I would do the exact same thing. Right? Like, you can't be showing up shaggy. To that, yeah, I know. I noticed. Would you tell the barber to give him the Parkins? You're just copying my hairstyle now? Is that what's going on?
No, Danny. I'm copying very little about you is deemed worth copying. So little.
I noticed though. You all of a sudden you came back after your one day gone, and the hair was looking very good. You look good.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. But I think my decent hair predated your quality hair. I think you've stepped up into my realm, sort of, you've well, approached.
But your birth predated mine, though. In fairness,
true. So. But my adulthood predated you, even a decade after you should have entered adulthood.
There's no one who clung to adolescence longer than me. I will completely agree with that proudly. If I didn't get married to Steph, I'd still be eating 14 meals a week to go. Like, there's no, skipping breakfast, lunch, and dinner out of the to-go cartons, throwing them away, no dishes, not being environmentally sound, and eating a lot of buffalo wings. It was fun. So it was a fun life, and she fixed me.
Yeah, I still remember having wings with you that one time, and just how little of the actual meat you ate off the wing. Shane, have you eaten chicken wings with Danny yet? His efficiency of meat removal from chicken wings is horrific, like embarrassing. Like, he put them down on the plate. I'm like, are you pausing on each wing before you go back around again? Just awful.
It doesn't surprise me in the least, Speaks.
Right?
You guys, I've gotten better at it. It depends on how hungry I am. If you get 12 wings and you're not that hungry, I'll just eat the best part of the meat on the 12 wings.
Hey, man, if you decide you're not that hungry, do me a favor and get less wings.
Do us all a favor. Save wings for people. Absolutely.
That is absolutely
show some fair. Respect by eating all the meat available. My God.
Okay, I'm working on it. Okay, we're all a work in progress. We can't all be as perfect as you, as a vegan, critiquing my meat eating abilities. But here's Matt Nagy. He is, if nothing else, more forthcoming than Ryan Pace, but he's still a football coach. So here's the head coach of your Chicago Bears.
What did you learn about Ryan and his pursuit of Khalil Mack that might be instructive as you guys hunt around for a quarterback?
I think the first thing with Ryan that anybody realizes or sees is that, you know, he wants to do what's best for the organization. And so when you run into different scenarios and situations, you want to be able to hit it from every angle and discuss different things with each other. And right away from the front end with me, that's kind of how things went, which I appreciated. You know, just being able to bounce ideas off of each other. We both, you know, just have so much respect for how we've gotten to where we've gotten to from that point then until where we're at now. And I just think that he's a extremely detailed person. We always joke he writes everything down and types it all up, and he makes up for the stuff that I don't type and write everything down. So we just bounce everything off of each other and we work well together.
Mark Potash.
Hey, Matt, when you were looking for a defensive coordinator, I'm curious, did you talk to Wade Phillips? And also, what was your thinking in hiring a first-time coordinator in Sean Desai? And are you kind of thinking that maybe even a first-time guy might give you something that a veteran you couldn't, as far as getting the kind of punch back in his defense?
So a couple things. First of all, Mark, I hope you're doing well. Second, with the defensive coordinator hire, with this being the second time for me to learn through the process of the experience of how to go about it. Number one, on the front end, there could be a lot of different names that come up, and I'm not going to, with all due respect to the people involved, I ended up interviewing nine defensive coordinators. So I'll give you the number. And that was different than the first time. And there was a lot of great ones. They all did a really good job, and it made it hard. But in the end, I just was really excited for the direction that Sean saw this team moving forward. The thing that I really liked about Sean is his conviction and confidence that he has, and the way that he's gotten to this point right now. He's really, really smart, but he's really, really football smart too. He has an unbelievable connection with these players. And what I find fascinating is when you go through the process, every person that we talk to and that I talk to, they all have their strengths and weaknesses. And one of the biggest obstacles and hurdles that Sean has always had to go through is coming through, you know, the ranks that he's been in is, you know, the fact that he did not play college football, you know, and he did not play in the NFL. He did not play in the Arena League. And so, but that said, to see the way that the guys respect him and the way that he works and how he got to this point, it was really neat. And then everything else that goes into it, so many strengths. And I'm just really excited and looking forward to seeing him put his spin onto this defense. And he's been waiting for this for a long time, and now the opportunity's here. And I'm really, really excited for him and our team.
Dan Wiederer.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Dan, how are you?
Good. This is the first time as a head coach where you go into an offseason with everything on the table at the quarterback position, to use Ryan's words. What excites you about the possibility of exploring a lot of different avenues to find a quarterback, and what are you after as you guys try to get to the finish line of this?
Yeah, so what I'd say, Dan, is for me, growing as a head coach and learning the different styles of quarterback play with guys like Mitchell and with Nick and Tyler and the guys that have been here, to anybody else that could come through this building, is they all have their strengths and their weaknesses too. And so the first year, as y'all know, in 2018, coming in here with the style of offense that we had, you know, it's funny, we're in scheme eval right now. Every morning we get together as a staff, we do our scheme eval, and we now have a library of being able to see where were we. We can compare 2018, 2019, 2020. And as we all know, you know, there's some areas in 2018 that we did better than 2019 and 2020, but there's other areas too where we've improved. And now you start with the quarterback position, and for us, there's a lot of different ways that we could go right now, right? Whether it's with Mitchell, whether it's with Nick, whether it's with somebody outside. And there's a lot of different ways that it could go. And I've always been a quarterback. I've always played the position my entire life. I have fun evaluating the position and seeing what other players do well and don't do well, and then how it fits into where we're at. Right now, we're literally in the thick of everything, and just so many what if this, what if that. And it's our job to work together to make sure that we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's together. Everybody, not just Ryan and myself, but the coaches, the personnel, and talking through different scenarios. There's so many things involved, some things that are out there and some things that aren't out. And so I just go back to your original question. For me, I love the process. I really enjoy it. I feel like over time, for myself, selfishly, you know, there's confirmation in that. And so that part's what excites me.
Adam Johns.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, Adam.
I was wondering if you could maybe just lay out the roles, your expectations for, well, Tom Herman, the recent hiring, and for Mike Pettine, also on defense. These are, I guess, newer positions with different titles.
Yeah, so I'll start off with Mike Pettine. As you all know, I've always had a lot of respect for the way that he does things, for him as a defensive coordinator. And, you know, anytime that you can strengthen your staff in ways of whether it's helping out in meetings and in personnel and different ideas, the beauty is when you go through times like this, especially like a guy like Coach Pettine, who's been a head coach in this league, right? He's been a defensive coordinator and had a lot of success coming in with the first year coordinator and Sean Desai. What I thought was beautiful about our conversations, the three of us, was that there's just zero egos involved the whole way through. And so Coach Pettine is really here for a sounding board for Sean, and for him to be able to maybe ask questions when he has an idea or a thought or confirmation. Also at the same time, being able to work ahead of time and help out, whether it's with the offense or the defense. But when you have smart people in your building that you feel like can help out, and you don't have people that are in positions where they have an ego or they're a threat or it's just not good. It's unhealthy. We don't want that. And that's the first, that's what I'm so looking forward to seeing, how that thing blends together. And then, the same thing with Tom Herman, you know, here's a guy that has had a lot of success in his career, worked his way up in the college ranks, the whole way up to a very successful head coach, and has done it at the highest level. And a guy that, you know, we've discussed together, the conversations we've had with myself, with Bill Lazor, with Coach Flip, of just where is he at and what is his why coming into this league. He's never been a part of this. And I think just as much as he can help us out in similar things on offense, like Coach Pettine will for the defense, they can cross over, right? And Coach, and Tom Herman can be a help to Sean Desai, and Pettine can be a help to us. So there's that. But in the same time, you know, Coach Herman gets to see what the NFL is all about and how do we game plan? How do we look at different things? He brings the element of the college game to whether it's in evaluating or whether it's schematically. So again, the biggest part of all that for the long-winded answer is that we have guys that have no ego, that all they want to do is ultimately help. And it's a win-win for everybody.
Chris Emma.
Matt, you said in an interview last month that you felt this team was close, that the roster was close, and expressed your hope that the quarterback position can get you over the hump. What's your confidence in your ability to make that move this offseason? And what's your expectation of what's to come?
Sure. Yeah, Chris. So you look at kind of where we've been at the last 3 years, and you get to a point where we can sit here and we can talk about the playoffs 2 or 3 years. We can say and I know, you know, that gets brought up. You can talk about the offense has struggled. You can talk about the quarterback position. But really what it comes down to is every year is so different. And for me as the head coach, my biggest challenge going into this year is trying to learn from the previous 3 years of where we're at and how do we get better. And there's a lot of different things that I'm growing. You know, I've said that each year, but I really am. I feel like for me, if I can take my weaknesses that I've had in whatever it is and use other coaches' strengths to help me out, I'll do that. And so it's a new year. Last year is gone. Just like Sean said, right? You guys are asking Sean, what's your defense going to look like? It's going to look like the 2021 Sean Desai defense. I love that. I think that's real. So we have an opportunity, and we know that we have different areas to fix and different areas to get better. And it's our job now as coaches to also make sure that we're coaching at the highest level, right? We're putting these guys in the best position possible. And when you go through a 4-game losing streak like we did in 19, when you go through a 6-game losing streak like we did last year, let's eliminate those. Let's have more of the 5-1 starts and finish strong. Let's get to the playoffs. Let's win in the playoffs. And that's our challenge to our coaching staff and our players heading into this year.
Hub Arkush.
Hey, Matt. Good to see you. I hope everything's well.
You too, Hub. You too.
Thank you. I understand you can't give me names of quarterbacks, and I get why. I know you're not trying to be difficult. I get the competitive advantage part. But if you could have your pick of the quarterback to run the scheme that you hoped to run when you came to Chicago, what would be the three most important traits you'd be looking for? And relative to that, not having a combine or in-person visits, how much is that going to handicap you in discovering those traits?
Sure. So here's what I would say, and this is where, when I first got hired, Hub, you come into this thing, and, you know, obviously Mitchell being our young quarterback that's coming in, learning the system, being able to give you the dual threat that can run, but can also has the arm and the ability to make every throw in the playbook, which he does. And so you start off there and you say that, but then as you go through it, right, and you start to see where your team is at with your players and their strengths that they have and how it fits. Now you start kind of tweaking your offense a little bit to turn it into the Chicago Bears offense, right? And not necessarily the Kansas City offense. There's stuff that we like from that offense that we brought here. There's stuff we've gotten away from. There's stuff we've added as far as this year in 2020. But that would be one part is do you have versatility and being able to you don't have to be running all over the field, but have some movement. Great. If you don't, we'll work around that. The other part I'd say is decision making. Every quarterback coach in the world will tell you that. It's when you make those decisions. I think situational football, y'all have heard me say it over and over, is important with decision making. And then having the leadership skills. And when I say that, every quarterback leads in different ways. I was around a guy with Alex Smith who was that happy medium where he wasn't a yeller and screamer at the guys, but he wasn't quiet. He was right down the middle. And every guy has kind of their own ways that they do it, but they all lead in a certain way and they multiply the players around them. And so I'd say leadership, decision-making, and if you have some versatility as a quarterback with your legs, great. If you don't, no problem. We can work around it.
And are you guys going to be challenged by not being able to do in-person visits and not having the combine?
Without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, that's a big time challenge in so many ways. It's definitely unprecedented. It's real. So now that just puts more of the onus on our personnel. It puts more of the onus on our coaches and different phone calls that we got to make just to make sure, hey, what do you know about this? What do you know about that? And then, you know, just making sure that what you see on tape is real. And then you got some guys that don't have a lot of tape because of what went down. So without a doubt, this is unprecedented.
Brad Biggs.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Brad.
You said there's a lot of ways it could go, referring to the quarterback situation. So what I'm curious is, how many ways are there that you'll be confident with? Like, how many options are there that you can point at right now today and say, you know what, I'm good with that?
So what I would say to you, Brad, is on that is that there's several, and we can't get into that right now, but there's a lot of different you know, when what ifs, and there's a lot of different, okay, here we are, this is where we're at. And if it's X, you know, quarterback X, Y, or Z, including the guys that we discussed with Mitchell and Nick, what do we do to get this thing better? Because in the end, we got to score more points and we got to score more touchdowns, regardless of anything. And it's not just one position. It's not. It's everywhere. And we feel like with some of the younger guys that we drafted this past year and previous years, guys are really – jumping into their specific roles, and they can help multiply that quarterback position. They can help out. And so without getting into the directions of every one of them, I think the biggest thing is, you know, do we have a plan? Will we have a plan? Could things change? Absolutely. Without a doubt, things could change. And then we got to make sure from the coaching standpoint, right? Myself, Bill Lazor, Flip, we got to make sure offensively that we're always communicating with Ryan so that he understands where we're at and how it's a fit or not a fit.
Jason Leisure.
Hey, Matt, when you're evaluating quarterbacks who played for you before, like Foles or Alex Smith, is there a challenge in comparing what they did for you versus where they're at currently in their career?
Probably a little bit, just because, you know, they've obviously, Alex had his big injury, and so, but for him to be able to come back and do what he did is just fascinating. And then with Nick, same thing, right? This was our first year going into this season, calling plays and being with Nick and understanding what his strengths and weaknesses are. And, you know, you have to be able to say, as a coach, you have to be able to say, okay, what do they do well? And then how do we help them? And I think you guys saw there with Mitchell towards the end of the season, we really were creating that identity with the offense and the direction. Now, it doesn't mean that we weren't doing things that we didn't do in 2018 or 19, but specifically with those other guys, you know, we're learning as a staff. Let's try to take what we do well as an offense and help it fit with what these quarterback strengths are. And last year you saw a little bit of, you got a guy like Mitchell who has the movement with his legs. He can threaten opposing defenses on third down with the scramble, with the way he scrambles. And then you got a guy like Nick, who's coming into a situation, and it's a little different philosophy offensively with some of the things that we do there. That said, too, we had different personnel throughout the year that went on. And so just trying to work through all of that. And so you have to be able to be adaptive to every one of your quarterbacks that you work with. And that's what we need to do.
Kevin Fishbane.
Hey, Matt. When you look at the Allen Robinson situation, I think this might be kind of a first for you here, where you have a guy of that profile who's going to be a free agent. How do you view it from your spot as a head coach? Because obviously Ryan and Joey take care of the business side of it, and you know what he brings to your offense. So what role do you play, and how do you kind of what's your perspective on that?
So I would say Kevin, the biggest thing is anytime you get into these type of situations with these players across the league, it's never easy. It's never fun, but it's real. And that process is what you try to do ultimately, right, is you try to get to that win-win in a perfect scenario. A-Rob knows how much we love him. A-Rob knows, you know, how much that me as a head coach and Ryan as a general manager, the importance that he brings to this city, to the organization, to his teammates, to all of us. And then now you run into the things that he has done with us and the things that we have done for him, being able to help him be productive. Now you get to this point, and this is where Ryan and Joey will do their thing, and A-Rob and his agent work together, and you just try to figure out, okay, where is it a win-win? And from my perspective, I let them do that part. And again, I've had a million conversations with A-Rob in 3 years, and he's well aware of what he means to all of us. And this is just the business side, and we're not the only team in the NFL that's dealing with this right now.
Mark Grody.
Hi, Matt. It's obviously a very unique situation where two franchise quarterbacks might be available in Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. How surprised are you about that news, which has ruled the NFL this offseason? And do you allow yourself to think about the possibility of them if you're thinking about all of the possibilities with this team?
Yeah, obviously I can't get into any of that because those guys are, all these players are under contracts. And so it's just, to me, I have no idea. We have to, from our end, we have to look at it like the guys that we know their contracts are up, and that's what we do. And so we just stick to that plan, and that's not something that I can even get into.
We have time for two more. Joe Lewis.
Yeah, hey, Matt. Earlier, Ryan spoke about the collaboration and the relationship you have with one another. With several of your players being very vocal about these high-level players being available, how much do you factor that into deciding on a quarterback, whether it be free agency or the potential in the draft?
What did you say about collaboration?
Yeah. Ryan was speaking about how you all are focused on improving your relationships and how you all have learned from one another. When you're dealing with players who are being very vocal about these high-level players, how do you use their needs or their wants or their expressions of who potentially could join the team, and how do you factor that in Ryan deciding?
Yeah. No, we just, again, we'll always talk about everything. And I think that the one thing that we do is we over communicate, with the details on things. And so we can play through every hypothetical situation out there, and we will. But it's definitely something in a process for us that I feel like is now with this heading into our fourth year together. We really know who each other is and what we do well and don't do well. And then we just bounce it off and trust. There's that trust factor too, with no ego. So that's real. But the biggest thing is just working together.
Last one for Coach Pat Finley.
I have two, but the first one's really fast, I promise.
You're good.
Tom,
you're fine.
How much time is Tom Herman going to spend in the building? Is this is he going to move to Chicago or just kind of pop in and out?
Yeah, nope. He'll be in the building. He'll be in the building with us. Yep.
Okay. And the second one is this. This is the third straight offseason that you have had a pretty major overhaul on one side of the ball with your position coaches and coordinators. I know we've talked about how coaches cycle in and out, more than ever probably, but is there any reason for concern on your part that there are a lot of new voices coming in?
No, there's not. I mean, the one with Vic is, uncontrollable. He goes ahead and, gets that head job in Denver. And so that's that. And then you have another one where it's retirement, So that's just that part. And then I do think offensively for us heading into this second year together, man, I can't even begin to tell you how much easier it is going into watching the film right now in the morning together and just everybody knowing it and not having to reteach things, So now for Sean, it's been very important. And I love this. It's been very important that really all of us are in the building together, all by the rules and all by the protocol, but being there, as much as we love doing these Zoom interviews and these Zoom talks, they're good, but it's just different when you're in the building. It's different when you're together. And that's kind of the direction that we're going right now. And I think for Sean now, getting back to what he wants and some of these, because that is, a lot of new guys on that side, they're able to kind of really feel who each other is, their personalities, have ideas and not have to click the mute button every time they want to talk. So that part's been good. And then offensively, I feel like we're a step ahead. Just because we have Bill Lazor and now Flip has had the quarterbacks and our other coaches, they're heading into their fourth year. So I really feel good with where we're at. Now we got to put it all together, and we just got to see where the offseason goes.
That's Bears head coach Matt Nagy as we're back live here on the Parkins and Spiegel show. Good try by Mark Grody to get him to get fined like $150K for tampering. That was a good try.
I thought so, too. The phrasing of like, hey, these quarterbacks have really dominated the news cycle. Do you allow yourself? I really enjoyed the effort, but yeah, volleyed and defended very quickly.
Yeah, that's not likely to happen. Hub's question, three things in a quarterback, leadership, decision-making, and movement. Maybe we can apply that, but then he also kind of, like, in terms of prospects to look at, but then he also kind of hedged. I'm like, but if you don't really have mobility, we can work around it. So, I don't know. What did you take away from it?
Not a ton. In terms of the personal side of Allen Robinson, that's his job, is to be the guy who gets along with Allen Robinson and hears him out. And as the head coach, you empathize and you say, I know, man, they got to take care of you. Believe me, I'm doing everything I can, that kind of thing. And so he gave voice to that. So I thought that was interesting and worthwhile. I agree with you on the Hub question, and then the way that he kind of hedged on mobility, because the guy I was thinking about was Nick Foles.
Because he might have Nick Foles.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We'll work around it if you don't have any mobility, or if you're a statue, or if we end up signing Alex Smith with 18 leg surgeries. Yep. So, exactly. So
and there the Alex Smith character reference jumped out at me right there in the
unsolicited.
Middle.
Unsolicited. Yeah.
Yes. So, but we know about his feelings there. But you know, more personable, gave us a touch more than Ryan Pace, but still. Leaving everything as vague as possible for the moves to come. And you listen with more of an ear for that for Nagy, because he has gained power. He has certainly gained power in that front office and in those conversations.
100%. We'll still answer your questions with one last thing. Little baseball news and an unfortunate piece of news for the best sporting event of the night. Next on The Score.
Collaboration.
What did you say about collaboration?
They love to collaborate up at Hallis Hall.
What did you say about collaboration?
Yes, the excitement in Matt Nagy's voice is like, oh, a question about collaboration? I can answer that. We collaborate. That's what we do.
It's like
yes.
They've got no idea that we're just going to use that over and over and over again.
What did you say about collaboration?
Be a little self-aware, bro.
Well, but dude, Pace was earlier in the day. Like, I know we use that word a lot. Said Ryan Pace, and you do, and he knows that we know they do, and yet still they can't limit their excitement about it.
It's a buzzword.
Collaboration.
Collaboration. Yes. I'm all in. I got to say, Lawrence's impression of Ryan Pace today?
Solid.
Good.
Yep.
I enjoyed it. I don't hear Lawrence do a lot of voices like that. That was very good radio. I enjoyed that immensely. And I don't mean to sound surprised. I just sound surprised about, not about the good radio. I sound surprised about the impression. Have you ever heard Lawrence do an impression? As soon as I said it, I know how it sounded. I was surprised by the impression, not the good radio.
He does these impersonations. I swear, you would think it was the real people.
No, I know. I understand. How'd you feel about my Bane? I gave you some Bane from The Dark Knight last week. I'm people of Gotham, bow before me. That's right. See, I think that's pretty solid, actually. I think I could develop that.
You could, for all of those times where Bane comes up in conversation. Because Ryan
People
Pace...
of Gotham! Yeah, it doesn't come up a lot. You know, Ryan Pace is a more popular sports talk figure than Bane.
Yeah, Pat Mahomes, for example, is a more popular sports talk figure.
Yeah, I am. People like to talk to me sometimes.
Yeah, see? We got Pat Mahomes on the show at all times. It's a valuable thing.
Did you hear about Dak Prescott, by the way? He wants to get paid just like Pat Mahomes. He wants that Pat Mahomes money.
Well, Dak, here's the thing, buddy. You can't do what I can do, what I see.
What do you do so well?
Well, sometimes I'll do this thing where a wide receiver's running that way, and I want to throw it to him, but to trick the defense, I look that way and I throw it that way. They got no idea it's coming.
It's a little John Madden in there. Yeah, I was ready for him to say boom at some point.
Jackie Mason. Somehow you look that way. You look this way.
Sometimes it just makes it a little bit more difficult because my toe hurts. I got turf toe.
Right. Wow, no, still. You mentioned the toe.
Yeah. I think they might have to chop it off. Like that guy, Mr. Deeds.
Oh, no.
Pat, big Mr. Deeds fan. Understandably so.
Always has. So, yeah, Speaks, maybe work on, like, Lawrence's Ryan Pace or actual Pat Mahomes on this show. You know, maybe work on something that's a little bit more relevant, some might say, than Bane.
Okay, I'll think about it. I think our Mike and the Mad Dog is that's the best we have in the holster right now. But we'll have to work it out.
We can improve it. I gotta say, disappointed. Illinois versus Michigan tonight. Top five matchup. Billis and Shulman on the call. Gets going here in just about 20 minutes. Our guy Io was a game time decision after being fit for the old face mask. Earlier today, the internet told me that he was going to play, but now official team spokespeople are saying that he is not going to play.
Man.
So they were a 6.5-point underdog before the news, now closer to double digits for the Illini. Unfortunate.
That's brutal. That's brutal. It's the first time they've played all year. It's crazy. This late in the year, they were going to play on the 11th of February. It was a COVID cancellation. And these are the only two teams that have a shot to win the Big Ten regular season title. I believe, although we don't exactly know how the Big Ten is going to decide the winner of the regular season, because just like they did in football, they're making up the rules as they go along to deal with all the COVID cancellations, you know? How many games has Ohio State played? However, that's how many you need to play. That's the new rule. That's the new rule.
So the equivalent for the basketball would just be, how many one seeds can we get? How many top two seeds in the tournament can we get? But we're going to talk to Joe Ostrowski in just a little bit, so we wanted to answer some of your questions.
It's time for one last thing.
That is the $1.5 billion question.
I just want to ask you one question.
That's a general answer to a general question.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you.
For anyone on the show.
One question.
You know, there's times where I don't want to answer your guys' dumb questions.
I just want to ask you one question.
What do you think about verb?
It's the dumbest question you could ask.
What?
Jesus.
I just want to ask you one question.
I respect the question and I totally get why you're asking it, but
I just want to ask you one question.
One of the biggest questions that people will ask in these type of situations.
I just want to ask you one question.
One last thing with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
So we take these questions to end the show. We call it one last thing from our texters and our Twitchers. And we love the Twitch chat, and it's growing seemingly every day. It's a great way to interact with the show. Please tell a friend about it and join in on the conversation. I'm always chatting during commercial breaks and stuff like that with the Twitch audience. And Brian Gertz, who runs the stream in the chat, let me know that CharlotteJ136 on Twitch gifted 6 subscriptions to other viewers within the chat. So we got a very philanthropic chat going on there.
That's
so thank
awesome.
You. Thank you to Charlotte J for the gifted subs, and that's amazing. I don't exactly know what that entails, but I'd be happy to gift some subs for people as well in the chat. So, Gertz, get me the information, and I'd be happy to do that if I'm even eligible, but I don't really know. Shane, what are the questions today?
From Parkins Mike Stand, this is for Parkins and Spiegel. Okay. You need a lawyer to defend your livelihood and your life in court. You can choose between Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, or Shane.
Matt Nagy. He's by far the most likable of the three.
I'm gonna have to agree. You know, although I think Ryan Pace could end up filibustering for a long, long time.
But we'd agree it's not Shane.
Oh yeah, that's easy. Shane is third okay. on that. I would hire Shane for a
figure
lot.
Figure it
of
out yourself.
He's not worth it. He's not worth it, Judge, frankly.
Rub some red meat on it. Would you be a good lawyer, Shane?
Yeah, I think I'd be an excellent lawyer. Maybe not for you guys, but I'd be a good lawyer for other people.
That's the other thing. Like,
for people
would
you care
have,
about. Right.
Yeah, would you have our best interest
no,
at
No, of course
heart?
I would. I would defend you guys to the scraped knee.
Yeah, right. Definitely not to the death. Next question.
From Shum Pulp Enjoyer. Danny. When you were voted out as commissioner of your fantasy football league for gambling away the league dues, did you fight the impeachment or did you just kind of let it happen?
Oh, I let it happen. I was thrilled to still be in the league with all of my lifelong best friends. I paid it out. I just didn't pay it out in a timely fashion because I gambled the money at an 18-year-old casino in college. That was a bad thing to do.
I've admitted that. I think that if I wanted to become the commissioner again, I would be reinstated because my credit score is much higher, but I got no interest in that headache. So, no, I did not fight the impeachment. I 100% deserve
credit
it.
Credit score, they would check. All right, yeah. Baby commissioner, we're going to need a credit check
yeah.
on that.
But my credit is high enough now that I'd be able to pay out, even if I did gamble the entry fees, I think I'd be able to pay out the winnings.
Tremendous.
But, yeah, that was a mistake. And
what was it a mistake? You did it on purpose.
That's true.
I accidentally bet your league dues at the table.
No, but I thought I was going to win, and I lost. And then I thought, well, there will be more where that came from, and then there wasn't. So it was really a two-pronged intentional mistake. Next question.
From Gray's Lake, what's the longest all four of you have gone without looking at your phone and sleeping does not count?
I mean, certainly hours on vacation.
Yes.
But in like a day-to-day sense, man, my weekly screen time report is on average around 8 hours a day.
Can we do that tomorrow? Can we do screen time reports tomorrow?
Oh,
sure.
That would be horrific, TSL. And I'll be embarrassed. But sure, I'm in. Absolutely. Yes, on vacation. I went to a place one time where they provided a cell phone sleeping bag, little canvas sleeping bag for the hotel room. It was a little, and it was like strongly suggested, and the whole place was about mindfulness and, you know, being there and enjoying the outdoors. And I took them up on it. So I did two different 24-hour stints of cell phone sleeping bag.
You guys?
You know, on vacation last July in Michigan, I would just leave it there, turned off because all the family was there with me, so no need to really have the phone on or around. But being a hero, you know, we commute here every day. We're here on the front line.
First responders, they call us.
That's yeah, in the biz. I've gone days where I've leave my phone at home. Sometimes, like I'll close my front door. I'm like, oh man, I forgot my phone. No way of going back in now to get it. I'll just keep going.
I'm trying to get to a point on Sundays where I can put it away for like 5-6 hours. And I'm always available for you guys unless I'm doing something. But I like to just kind of like shut down. But definitely on vacation, I would like to go. I'm trying to get to a point where I can leave it be for like 4 or 5 hours on a Sunday, every Sunday.
Man,
it's good for you. Healthy for you if you can do it.
We are pathetically addicted.
From Charlotte J.
It's not an addiction. Oh. We have to for our job. Sorry.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't want to be on it.
No, it sucks. Like, I hate that's what you're telling yourself. Having a Twitter account. Yeah. I hate the fact that we have to be monitoring that crap all the time.
It is what you're telling yourself. I'll admit to being addicted. I will.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll, you know, tomorrow we'll show up to the show meeting and with no ideas or nothing that we saw. So, you know, we'll see
right.
how long
no
that
notes.
Plays for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, you know, it'd be great. All right.
Last one from Charlotte J. If you could eat only one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Chicken parm.
Oh, just like the stuff you made, finally, successfully?
That's right. Yeah, my own chicken parm.
That's just the entree. What are the sides?
I mean, I think a full, like, Italian, you know, like a good pasta with it, and then maybe some, like, Brussels sprouts with bacon as the veggie. And good cocktail of sorts, like a bourbon-based cocktail. Or a really good glass of red wine, probably, because that's a little easier to drink multiple of.
I'm going to have to go dim sum. I love dumplings, Chinese food, like chicken soup dumplings, and then also like shrimp dumplings, like the ha gao, they're called, the shrimp dumplings on the dim sum. Even just pot stickers, the bastardized, Americanized, delightful pot stickers. Give it to me again and again.
Joe Ostrowski is coming up at 6 o'clock.
I'm told my wife will not join me for that final meal, if that's all I'm having.
Oh, really? She's in the room and she will yes. not join you?
She's
well,
like,
it's a betrayal of your veganism.
Oh,
and it wasn't a final meal. It was if you could eat it for every meal the
every
rest
meal.
Of your, every,
so, yeah.
your life. And you just immediately abandoned veganism.
I abandoned veganism and my wife. I'm dining alone for the rest of my life.
For the rest of time. God, it sounds a little peaceful, doesn't it? Just nice and quiet with a good book. What about you, Joe Ostrowski? If you could eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be and why? Oh, he's not there. Well, then that was awkward. My apologies. But, yeah, man, Italian food. It's the best.
Mm.
I hear it's not healthy, though. I hear it's like bad starches or something like that.
Yeah,
everything's unhealthy now.
Really, for me, I want the Asian combo. I want sushi. Like, give me some beautiful, fresh, delicious sushi along with the shrimp dumplings and the pot stickers. So can I go to a place that does both? Yes. Yes, I could.
That's one of my – that's probably the thing I'm going to miss most about the city is having 100 different sushi restaurants that will deliver at my fingertips. That terrifies me.
Yeah, man.
Frankly. I love sushi. It's so – I mean, it's just – but it would come in second. That would be my second meal. Because it just seems so light. I just can just have 50 pieces of sushi.
I know, that's the thing. Problem. Like, you feel you're full at the end, but you don't think you've done damage to your body. You actually feel like you've done okay.
It's very deceptive. Because if you get a lot of sushi with rice, and there's like cream cheese or fried or whatever, it can be unhealthy.
Oh, sure.
But, God, it's so good. Don't you feel bad when you feel like, oh, man, I just ate unhealthy sushi? I could have had healthy sushi, but I chose unhealthy sushi. But it's delicious.
Yes.
Remember when Mac would only eat the brown rice sushi?
Yeah, just the guy. He's the guy who got supersized at McDonald's but asked for the Diet Coke.
Like, oh, yes.
Brown rice sushi.
My favorite thing was every year we'd go to Arizona for spring training, and he'd say, you have to try this sushi place in a strip mall in Arizona because that's where I go for fresh fish. That's my go-to. I'm in the desert. Let me eat some hamachi. Good call.
It makes all the sense in the world. Thank you to Dan Bernstein for letting us air our grievances. John Hollinger was on the show as well. You heard from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Joe Strowski is coming up next. I just wanted to wish you guys, by the way, a happy Layla Wednesday Eve. Happy Wednesday Eve.
Thank you.
You too, Danny.
Hope she helps us observe that tomorrow. And also,
whether she does or doesn't, we will be observing Layla Wednesday. Check them out. Mullenhaw, Bernstein and Rahimi, Lawrence Holmes, Parkinson Spiegel, Joe-O, the Grobber. One big happy team around here. Shane Reardon's our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Brian Gerge with the Twitch chat. We appreciate you. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. Joe-O coming up next. It's Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
Well, I mean, I didn't enjoy going through this. You know, I think we had some really bad segments, a lot of ups and downs. We didn't finish. And I give our guys credit. They responded. We just lost our way. And then it was good to see our guys compete.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.